Okay, we're going to start here on the bottom line with Chedom at Bet, and the last line. Tamarle Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yochanan, Heichi Mevarech, Azayit Meliach. So he had this case before when we were trying to prove what the position is of Rabbi Yochanan with regards to Yirakot Shlakot, these cooked vegetables. And we brought the case of Rabbi Yochanan eating this Zayit Meliach. And we know, as Rashi and Tosavot Boim point out, Meliach Kiroteach, that salting something is the equivalent of cooking it. So that would be a good case for us to understand what Rabbi Yochanan's position was, and he made a bracha in the beginning and in the end. So the bracha that he made in the beginning, we're assuming, was Bar Pri Eitz, and then afterwards, we assume he made Al Eitz V'Al Pri Eitz. Then the Gemara countered that argument and said, well, not necessarily. Maybe he made a Shakoni Ebid Vero in the beginning, and then afterwards, he made a Borei Nefashot. And Gemara, it's interesting again, when the Gemara talked about the bracha Chrona there, and wanted to mention Borei Nefashot, it says, well, that's not really a bracha. That you wouldn't call that a bracha, and that's what we had spoken about before. Right, the Velo Klum, that Borei Nefashot really is not a bracha that was considered to be a real bracha achrona. So Gemara asks a very fundamental question in Rabbi Yochanan's position, which is, Kevin Deshkila the Garine, in order to salt the olives, you have to take out the pit. So these are pitted olives. Batulei Shiura, he has less than a kazayit. The kazayit is the size of an olive, but it includes the pit inside of it. Once you pull the pit out, then you don't have a kazayit worth. Now, obviously, and as Tosafot pointed this out, we're talking about here the bracha achrona. Bracha rishona is anything. Even at ima, you require bracha rishona from here. So the Gemara's question is certainly not about the bracha rishona. It is about the bracha achrona. And then Tosafot goes off on some sidebars here, but they're very important. So I just want to mention them. The first second one is, he talks about, Alkein yesh li zeher lishtot mikoshel bracha melo lugmav. You should be careful to drink from a koshel bracha, at least the melo lugmav. Melo lugmav is a cheekful, a rov revi'it. In order, kadesh shivarech l'acharav me'ein gimel brachot. So you can say the bracha achrona of ala gefen v'al pri ha-gefen. V'hari, it's a very, very interesting practice. Haya omer borei nefashot. Kevin the love bracha chashuvahi. Again, this idea that borei nefashot is not really anything. Afilu bebatzir mishiura. When less ate less than his shiur, and therefore he didn't reach a level of shiur that would have obligated him in the bracha me'in shalosh in alamechi alagefen or piagefen. So when he was in that position, he would just say borei nefashot because it's not like a real bracha. It's not a bracha chashuva, and so he'd fill in with borei nefashot even with less than his shiur. Tosfot says no v'lo nira. He says, came in the Borei Nefashot Taknua, Keneged Ala Gefen. Eventually, when they put Borei Nefashot in place, they did it to counter or in paradigm with the Ala Gefen. Then they did it the same way. The Takana should follow what they did with Ala Gefen. And just like Ala Gefen, you require a Shiur, so too, by Borei Nefashot, you require a Shiur. That's number one. That's a very interesting point that Tosafot is making. Two of them. One is about the shiur afterwards, and number two is about the Ri's practice of saying borei nefashot, even in the face of not meeting the threshold of the shiur for that item. Because, and this is again what we're repeating, this idea that borei nefashot is not really a bracha, it was a fill-in for when they didn't have a bracha achrona, so he's using it as a fill-in here. Tosafot himself rejects it because of this idea that once they instituted borei nefashot, then it follows the paradigm of the bracha mein shalosh. And once it does that, it has a threshold or a shiur that will be mechayevit.
But the Ri would only with wine, I guess.
Right. I assume that if he had water less than shiur, that he wouldn't make a borei nefashot. I think it seems, we don't have a clarification of his position, but I would assume that it meant only against bracha mein shalosh. All right, so now the Gemara answers the question here. We'll come back to this Tosafot in a second, because Yushalmi has an alternative answer to our Gemara. It says, mi savrat kezait gadol b'ina. Who says you need a big olive? Who says you need a chazanish olive? Kazayit benoni, binan, right? You only need a middle-sized olive. So, bahayu da'aiti the kamei Rabbi Yochanan zayit gadol havo. And the one that Rabbi Yochanan got was a large olive. So, da'avagav de shakmul garinite bashle shiura. So, even though he got a large olive that was pitted, a large olive that's pitted is the same size as a benoni, a middle-sized olive. So that's how we solve the problem here, according to the Bavli, the Tanan. Mission, Zayit Shamru, Lo Katan, Velo Gadol, Lo Bononi. The Zayit that we're talking about is not big, it's not small, it's the middle, the medium size. Vizehu Aguri. That's called a olive that's called the Aguri, belted one.
Or a reservoir.
And as Rashi explains over here, Aguri is because it holds its shemen, its oil inside, unlike other fruits, where they're decompartmentalized, he says that the grape and the olive have their juice, their liquid inside, ready to come out, and therefore when you press them, they come out easily. That's not its name. Ela avruti shimo. Farmila samrusi shimo. So all of these different names here. Because its oil is belted in, it's held in, and as I mentioned before, that's what Rashi explains, that mizuman latzeit comes out easily. It's ready to go. I want to just mention on Tosafot, we gave the answer for Rabbi Yochanan in the Bavli. The answer in the Bavli for Rabbi Yochanan is that he got a bigger olive, a pitted bigger olive that ended up with a medium-sized olive. Yerushalmi brings an alternative answer, and that is called birya. The Yerushalmi says that if you eat a whole entity, then you have to make a bracha achrona, even if you don't meet the threshold for a shiur. You eat an entire grape, make a bracha achrona on the grape, even though it doesn't meet the minimum shiur of kezayit. So the same thing here too. He ate a whole zayit, and in eating a whole zayit kebirya, he would make a bracha achrona, even if it was less than the shiur. Now, the problem with that is, that if it's a pitted olive, then it is not kebirya. So the Tosafot suggests that the Yerushalmi meant that it was an olive that had its pit still in it, and that it was kibiriya. The Tosafot then says that the Yerushalmi argues on the Bavli. That this is a machloket Bavli in Yerushalmi, and that would have a big nafkamina, because then we most likely would pass in like the Bavli, and that means that you would have to meet the minimum threshold to say a bracha chrona, and that birya would not make a difference. But then, a Rabbi of Yosef, Hayyam Afaresh, Yerushalmi eino cholek ala gemara shelano. It's not cholek in our Gemara. Da'acha mayri shehusru agarinim, v'nimach. Over here, it was pitted, so therefore it was not kibiri ato. Whereas in Yerushalmi, they left the pit in. And based on that, there is no machlok with Bavli in Yerushalmi, it's just a question if the pit was in or not in. And based on that, they came up with different answers. And that means that the Bavli would also agree with the Yerushalmi's position. And that's the way we pass in the locha. If you eat a birya, that you have to make a bracha achrona, even if you don't meet the minimum shiur. You have a raisin, you have a grape, a single gargir, that's enough to be mechayev a bracha achrona, even though it doesn't meet the threshold of the minimum shiur. Then the Tosafot brings another thing, it's funny, he just brings another memra from Yerushalmi, not connected at all, but an important memra, and he says that if you're holding in your hand a turmusa, which is going to be the next sugya that we're going to deal with, the turmusa is a lupine, in your hand you make a bracha on it, and it falls out of your hand. And then you pick up another turmusa, you have to make another bracha. See, if you make a bracha on a bowl or on a whole series of vegetables, you can pick whichever one you want. But if you make it on a particular one, and it falls out of your hand, and then you go to take another one, you have to make another bracha. And at the end he says, and that's why it's important as Toto, Vayomar, Baruch Shem Gvod Malchuto Olam Ved. We should say, Baruch Shem Gvod Malchuto Olam, we should have a bracha levatala. The first bracha was a bracha levatala. V'chein echon omar okol bracha levatala. Anytime you make a bracha vatala, it's important to say this, Baruch Shem Kibod Machuto Olam Voed, because obviously the bracha vatala, the problem with it is the mentioning of Hashem Hashem in a context where it's not really being used. And so that's in some way a denigration of the Shem Hashem. So in order to counteract that misuse of the Shem Hashem, we say Baruch Shem Kibod Machuto Olam Voed, which is a praise or an elevation of the Shem Hashem, to offset that negativity in the bracha levatala. And that is our practice as well. Everybody knows this practice here. Tosafot mentions it. This idea to say bracha shein kvar makotol dan ved when there's a bracha shein tzricho or bracha levatala. Lema kitanai. Let us say that this really is a machluket tanaim, which is, tahanu treta mide davayatve kami de bar kapara. These two students that were sitting in front of bar kapara, reveal the fanav, proof, durmiskin upargiot. They brought for them these three items to eat. Kruv, we know, cabbage. Pargiot, we know, soft, young chicken. Durmiskin is a question. Rashi says, Durmiskin, he calls them akdalishit over here, based on what he saw in Baba Kama and the Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yehuda. But he says that Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yehuda over here defined them differently and called them prunes. So Durmiskin would be plums or prunes, depending on which state they came before them. And he says, that's what I think it is here. Tosafot says he doesn't think that's right, because when I see in the sugya coming up, that there was, nobody suggested that the bracha here should be boy priya eitz, which would have been the bracha on a plum or a prune, should have made a boy priya eitz. And therefore Tosafot says that it's a type of kruv. It's in the family of the kruv. But that's these dumas skim. So, natan bar kapar reshut echad mehem levarech. He gave permission to one of the students to make the bracha rishon on behalf of all of them. So he jumped one of them, kafat subirech ala pargiot. He jumped in and he made the bracha on the pargiot, on the young poultry. So liglev alav chaveiro. His friend started laughing at him. Kas bar kapar got upset. Amar lo alam avarech anikos. Not angry on the one who made the bracha, alav milagleg anikos. And the one who poked fun, that was teasing the other one. Just because, as David said here, this guy was like he's never tasted meat before in his life, that he's jumping to eat that first. Atam maligleta alav. Why did you laugh at him? Why did you make fun of him? Chazav amar. And then he continued. Lo milagleg anikos. I'm not angry at the one who made fun. El alam avarech anikos. I'm angry at the one who made the brocha. Vamar. Im chokhma ayin kan. Zekena ayin kan. He says, okay, if I'm not a talmid chacham, at least I'm someone of stature, I'm older. You could have asked me what the brocha, which one you should make the brocha first. Tano. Ushneim lo tiu. Shnatan. They didn't make it through their year. They both passed away in that year. Because they got bar kapar upset. So my love, hakamiflege. What was the argument between these two students? And it's interesting that the Gemara is willing to call this a machloket tanaim after Bar Kapara did away with both of them. But the Gemara is going to use this as a structure for a machloket tanaim. So they mivareich savar shlakot to pargiot shakol niyeh bidvaro. Talking about cooked vegetables and pargiot, you have a shakol on your hands. Hilkach chofi vadif. You have an equal bracha, then you pick the one that is more pleasing to you, the one that you like better. So yeah, as a shahako, he jumped for the basar because that was more pleasing to him. Umulagleg savar shlokot bore priyadama. That shlokot, these cooked vegetables, the kruv must have been cooked vegetable because we know that a raw kruv, at least in the eyes of the Gemara, was a shahako. So the only way you would have had the kruv was when it was cooked. So in that sense, you machloket about what the bracha should have been on the shlokot. Pargyo shakol niyeh bidvaro yukal peira adif. And we give precedence to the bore priyadama over the shahako. Mara says, lo. Everybody believes that the shlokot and the pargiot are shkoyin evidvaro. V'hocha b'hai svaro kamiflege. Their machlokas is in this fundamental understanding. Mar savar chaviv adif. One of them says that when it comes to the brachot, you give precedence to the one that you like better, when you're on an equal bracha plane at least. Mar savar kruv adif. So the other one said that cabbage was more, or should be given precedence here to Zayin. Because it's something that's nourishing, it's something that gives sustenance. So that was the machloket between them. Just to mention over here that Tosafot mentions about chaviv adif, we had this machloket about which is more important when you're making brachot. What is the hierarchy of making brachot? So he put in this chaviv adif, that what you like better has impact on which you make a brachot first. Tosafot over here gives his idea about how the hierarchy works in brachot. It's important, it's not clear. I'll show him argue about this. It's not standard, but I hear at least Tosafot with his opinions. He says, "V'chein alocha, meish lo shnei minei pirot lefanav chaviv adif. If you have two fruits in front of you, you can pick whichever one you like better. Ubore pri adama adifa mishakol niya bidvaro. And bore pri adama takes precedence over shakol, demuveret tvei. Because that's a more defined bracha, v'chashuv latzma. And since it has its own status, it's better than shakol. Shakol is the generic bracha. Bari pri adama is a particular bracha. We're going to go with the particular bracha over the shakol. Afa pi shoto min sheish levrech alav shakol chaviv alav. That's despite the fact that the shakol is something you like better. So even though it's a steak and you have some potatoes with it, you make the bracha on the potatoes, even though the steak is what you're really after. That's what you want. But im lefanav perot shabrachot shavot. If you have fruits in front of you where you have equal bracha, and one of them is from the Shivat Aminim. Automatically, the Shivat Aminim gets precedence over here. So that's not clear from all the Rishonim, whether Shivat Aminim gets precedence all the time or Chaviv has impact here. Does Chaviv? Yeah, when it's both Bari Priyayet, does Chaviv have impact? And within the Shivat Aminim, hierarchy goes by which is first in the Pasuk, and then you have the Eretz mentioned twice in the Pasuk, so the second Eretz brings up, upgrades whatever's after it in the hierarchy. Over there again, that question of whether the hierarchy in the Pasuk trumps Adif, Chaviv Adif, whether you like it better. So it says you should give precedence to the Shivat Aminim. There are those that want to suggest that Chaviv Adif.
And we'll discuss this further when we get to the Gemara on Mem Aleph that discusses this topic of how to prioritize in Brachot.
And Tosafot also mentions here that by Bar Kapara, we were talking about the Bracha Rishona, which is obvious that that's what they made the Bracha about. But he says that it has to be a case where they were Mesiv. That's an important fact. It comes up much, it comes up later in the Masechta, it comes up in other locations. The ability to be motzi someone else in a bracha, especially with food, you have to be beseval, you have to be together, you have to create some sort of unit between you in order to have a single bracha work for all of you. And Tosfot over here points out that we don't do a seva except for pat, and therefore we can't use this function of the bracha rishona for everyone. Later on, Tosfot says, in another context, that our sitting is the equivalent of their haseba. That when we sit together around a table, that has a kviut, like their haseba, and therefore whatever they did when they were haseba, we can do when we sit together. And because of that, Tosfot mentions the idea of sitting for havdalah and other brachot, where if you're being motzi someone else, you need to have a kviut together in order to be motzi them. And so that would have implications for Kiddush and for havdalah, where the overwhelming evidence is that one should sit for both of those in order to make the bracha rishona, the berachat hanenin, and berachat hakiddush for those other people that are there. Back to our Gemara. Amar Rav Zera. Kiyave ina bei Ravuna. Amar lan. Hanei gargalide de lifta. So these lifta is turnips. Gargalide means the tops of the turnips. So they're eating tops of turnips. Parmino prima rabo. Make sure that when you dice them in larger chunks, because then it's a bori pri adama. Prima zuta, if you dice them into smaller pieces, shakonia bidvaro, then they lose their status as a turnip, and they become a shakonia bidvaro. Rashi points out, this bisha ochlo chaikai, so when you're eating it raw. V'chiat on the bay Rabbi Yehuda, when we reached Rabbi Yehuda's base medrash, his house, amarlan, idi v'idi bori pri adama. Doesn't make a difference. Both cases, it's bracha bori pri adama. V'hai de parmino tzvei, yechei de nam tik tamei. And the only reason they dice them or slice them up into smaller pieces is because when you're eating them raw, it makes them sweeter. So that's the only reason. It doesn't remove the shame turnip from them. It just has a better taste to it. So Amar Ravashi, ki avinam bei Rav Kahana, amar lon tavshila de silka, lo mafshi ba kimcha. You have this selek, again, the translation of Selik is beets. Rashi again says Tavshil Shel Tradin, even though the Gemara later on uses carrot separately, which would make it spinach over here. But let's assume that we're talking about a beet Tavshil. The Lo Mavshi Vil Kimcha doesn't have a lot of flour in it. Borei Pri Adama. Delifto, when you have this Tavshil of turnips, Mavshi Kimcha that has a lot of flour in it, Mavshi Kimcha Tvei, Borei Minei Mizonot, you make a Mizonot on it. Which is very interesting because we just had the Gemara before with Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel say that mizonot cannot be subverted. If mizonot can be subverted, why does it make a difference? There's a lot of flour or a small amount of flour in the dish. And that's what he said in the end. Idi vidi borei pri adama. That's the exact opposite of what we thought. They're both borei pri adama. Why? V'hai deshadi be'kim chotvei ledbuke ba'alma avdila. This is one of the exceptions we said to that brocha. The reason they put a lot of flour into it is to be a binder for the tavshil. And as we said before, that for the Chamesha Minei Dagan, two exceptions to the rule that they're never subverted is, one, a binder, and number two is a thickening agent. So over here, they're using it for one of those two items. Amar Rav Chisda, Tavshil Shel Tradin, you have this spinach mixture, Yafel Alev, it's good for your heart, V'tov Le'enayim, it's good for the eyes, Choshke and the B'nei Me'ayim, it's great for the intestines. If spinach is healthy, they knew it even back then. Amar Rabbi Vahud Yotiv, Abay Tafi. That's only if it's sitting on a pot on the top of the stove, babi toch toch. And it's making the bobbing noise because it's already boiling over. It has to be boiled really well. The spinach has to be boiled really well. Raw spinach does not have these benefits. It's this really well cooked spinach. So amarava, pshitali, maya de silka kisilka. It's pasha to me that the juices, the water of this selek, of the beets, is like the selek. Maya de lifta kilifta. The water of the turnips is like the turnips. And the water of all these vegetables is like any of the other shlakot. So this is very interesting, because we said before about meats, any juices, that zeh ba'alma. So Tosafot asked that question right away. What do you mean? Says gafa gav der minin le'al dmei perot zeh ba'alma, that juices of fruits are zeh ba'alma, yesh lechalik. And that's how Tosafot leaves it. You have to differentiate. You have to differentiate between vegetable juices and fruit juices. And so he says that fruit juices are shakol, whereas these vegetable juices, and I'm assuming here, the idea being that they had the vegetables in it, and eventually the vegetables break down inside of the water, and that might be the reason to be mechalek over here, because these aren't simply the juices, but the vegetable is cooked to the point where it disintegrates in the water. And that's why maybe over here you would differentiate and say that it's a boy pri adama. So by Rapapa, Maya de Shifta, my, what about this water of the Shifta? Rashi says the Shifta is the erection of Dima Atvik de Radama take the alma. You put the vegetable into the dish in order to sweeten it, velola achlo, but not to eat the vegetable. You're not after the vegetable itself, you're after what the vegetable contributes to the dish, and he calls it anit velaz. I don't know if he's thinking about anise?
Dill.
Okay. So some sort of flavoring. Might. So now the question is it bentuke taima avdi? It's simply a flavor enhancer. Or lavure zuma avdila? Or is it to remove some other negative things in there? They called zuma, which was, I don't know if that was the fats or the froth of the broth, and to remove that from
they
the...
They would just cook it, and then they would take it out.
I guess so. That's what it sounds like. Either took it out or dissolved. I'm not sure what happened here. Said it. All right, so now in this case, the bracha would be different because if it's limtuke, then you would make a bari pri adama because then it's flavoring the gzeira, and then we'd be like this maya of the shlakot. On the other hand, if it's simply to remove the zuama, then it has no impact on the gzeira. It's simply to remove, not to add. And then it wouldn't have impact on the bracha that you're making over here. So tashma, a shevet mishenitna tam b'gdeira, ein ba mishum chuma. Once this shevet, this parsley, this dill, once it's given flavor into the gdeira, it's what's left over, ein ba mishum chuma. Veinu mitama tumat ochlim. It no longer has the status of chuma, and no longer is mitame tumat ochlim. Shma minalem tukei taima avdila. Must be that it's coming to flavor the dish, shma mina. Because basically, it's eitz ba'alma. Afterwards, once the flavor is drained from it, it has no status by itself. So if it was coming to absorb the zuama, then the item would still be intact. It's basically intact. It's absorbed the flavor from the dish, from the kadeira, and you're taking it out. And so what you had before was parsley, but what you have now is or this dill, and what you have afterwards is the same thing, just absorbed more. On the other hand, if it's to impart flavor to the dish, then after it's imparted the flavor, what you have left over afterwards is nothing. Because the dill or the parsley has imparted its flavor, what's left inside of it is nothing. It's a tasteless item now. So the only reason to say that it changes status after it's been put in the dish is because it's imparting flavor and then there's nothing left afterwards. So that's the proof from this Mishnah that it must be that this shevet is for imparting flavor and then you would make a bari pri adama. Amar Rav Chiya bar Shipat Tzunuma Bikara. So tzunuma is basically a stale bread or a dried out bread. But then they put it into a kiara, the bowl that has liquid in it. So it's being soaked in a liquid now. So it's a hardened bread that's being soaked in a liquid. Mivarchin alea amotzi. That you make a bracha of amotzi on, because it doesn't lose its status of bread. Upliga de Rabbi Chiya. And this argues on Rabbi Chiya. Ta'amar Rabbi Chiya tzarek shetichle bracha im apat. You have to finish off the bracha with the pot. The Gemara's understanding over here is that you have to break the bread at the moment that you're finishing the bracha. You're both say, you break the bread with the completion of the bracha. They want to start with the shleima and the bracha, and you break during the bracha, according to Rabbi Chiya. Matkif la rova, maishna tznuma delo. Why don't you want to make a bracha on this tznuma? Shum dechib, kalya brocha, aprusa kakalya. You're finishing off the bracha on a broken piece already. Ala pat nami. Based on that, on the pat too, gigamra, aprusa gamro. You're finishing it off on a broken piece. Based on what Rabbi Chiya was suggesting, that the bracha has to be tichle mapat, that you have to finish it off with the prisa prusam in a pot. As you're pulling off that piece from the pot, this is already parus, this is already broken. Here, you want to finish the bracha while you're breaking the bread. So now, Tosafot makes it clear here, this question only arises if you have a shlema there. If you only have the tunama, then you don't have a choice. Of course you're going to make a bracha on the tunama motzi. The question here is that you also have a whole piece of bread there, should you make the bracha on the tunama or not? And the fact that it mentioned the bracha on the tzunama suggests that you're opting out of the shlema and making a tzunama. And so that's what the Gemara is trying to challenge over here. Why is it?
Because according to you, Rav Chiya, there's no difference in the end. The tzunama is a prusa, is a broken piece. And so too will the whole bread be a broken piece by the time you complete the bracha. So why are you differentiating between the two? You should be indifferent between the two. They result in the same thing.
Ella, amarava mevareich ve'achar kach botzeya. No. You misunderstood this. The halacha is not that you have to break the bread with completion of the bracha. You must first complete the bracha and then only then break the bread. So Naradaya Abdeke Rabbi Chia, the Naradaya practice of Rabbi Chia, which is to break the bread with the completion of the bracha. Rabbanan Abdeke Ravo. Rabbanan practice like Ravo, Amar Ravina, Amar Li Aim. My mother said to me, Avuch, Abin Rabbi Chia. Your father practiced like Rabbi Chia. Damar Rabbi Chia, Tzarek Shetekle Bracha Imapat. Bracha should finish off with the breaking of the bread. Rabbanan Abdeke Ravo. And the Rabbanan practice like the Ravo. Vehilchato Ke Ravo. Nalocha is like Ravo. You make the bracha, and only after you complete the bracha do you break the bread. So now Tosafot right over here says, V'yesh no'agim l'vareich b'rechad ha'motzi kodem shi'achtoch, k'dei shi'apat shlema b'shat bracha. So some people practice, they only cut the bread after they make the bracha, so it'll be shlema, like this. Seems to be what the locha of Rova is. V'ein aminam nachon lasot kein. He says, that's not a good minog, davi hesach adat ben bracha l'achila. There's a delay. After you make the bracha, then you're now going to start cutting the bread. That's a huge, it's a huge delay between the bracha and actually eating the bread. He says, Umiyu, b'Shabbat nachon l'achmir. In Shabbat you have to be machmir because you need shleimim, because you need lechem mishneh. For lechem mishneh you should be makpid not to cut into it beforehand. But he says that the difference between poteich, cutting, and boteya. Boteya means to break the bread. You just break the piece off, you can eat it right away. It's immediately available to you. Cutting takes time. And he says that delay is problematic in terms of making the bracha, and therefore he objects to cutting after bracha, only on Shabbat, where there's the offsetting factor of Mishnah Lechem, can you cut after the fact? And that is the practice that most people have, that when they make a bracha and they use a knife, for those that use a knife to cut their challah, they make a mark in the bread as to where they're going to cut. That's not some voodoo. I think a lot of people, they wave the knife over the bread beforehand. No, it's actually to make a cut. So the person has a place where they know they're going to start the cut right away. And that it's easy for them to continue the cut. And therefore they should cut it to a point, you can cut it to a point where it doesn't break the shleimim. It's a Mishnah Nuksin that's quoted by the Snarch and the Mishnah Berurah. As long as you can pick up the smaller piece and the bigger piece doesn't fall away, then that cut is still considered to be a shleimim. So you can cut that much and then continue afterwards to deal with this problem that Tosafot mentions. I would also think that in their day they were dealing with what was called provincial bread, which was a bread today that you make, which is a very hard outside. It's extremely hard on the outside and soft on the inside, and therefore it was difficult to cut. So I think that's probably the type of bread they're talking about, that cutting wasn't just like a symbol. Today we have a challah that's soft all the way through. I'm not sure that the same would apply, because it's very easy. You can cut through it in a moment. It's not so hard to cut it. Yitmar, Abiyolifnam, Pititim Ushlemim. Brought for him broken pieces of bread and whole pieces, or whole loaves. Amravonam Bavrechala Pititim Upoterat Ushlemim. Make a bracha on the pieces of bread and poterat Ushlemim, Briyokhanamar Shlema Mitzvah Mina Mufkar. It's better to make a bracha on a whole loaf. Aval prusa shel chitin ushleima min ha-se'orim. So this is what you were speaking about, Shaul. That if you have a broken piece from wheat bread and a whole barley bread, divrei Yaakov mevarech al prusa shel chitin. Everybody agrees, you give precedence to the chita. Poteret ha-shleima shel se'orim, and with that you're motzi that of the se'orim. So there, everybody agrees, this is both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Huna are going to agree in that instance, that you make the bracha over the wheat, the chita, both because chita is earlier in the pasuk, as well as the fact that chita is machal adam and sora is machal be'ema in general, in the dam of the Gemara. So therefore we give precedence to a chita that is parus, than to a sora that is shleima. Now Rav Huna's opinion here is a machlok of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. It's a very important machlok, and it's going to have nafkamina later on in the Gemara. Which is when Rav Huna says, merech ala pititim poter teshlemim, Rashi says, imratzam merech ala pititim. Rav Huna is not obligating you to make the bracha on the broken pieces of bread. He says, if you want to, you can. Vema ptitim dolim and eshlimim sarich devarech alehem. Rashi differentiates on the size of those broken pieces. He says, if the broken pieces are the same size or smaller than the whole bread, then you can make a choice. And that's what Rav Huna is saying. You can make a choice. You can say it on the ptitim, you can make it on the shlimim. But if the broken pieces are larger than the shlema, he says the din is, you make it on the ptitim, because they're bigger. You must make it on the ptitim, because they're bigger. Tosafot says, Akech perish Rabbeinu Tam, Tamayri ptitim gdolim, v'shlemim tanim. He says that Rav Huna's statement is made even when the ptitim are yoter gdolim. V'achi perisho, am Rav Huna, v'reich al ptitim, klomar, im yirtze. V'hu adin al shlemim, im yirtze. He gets a choice. Rabbi Yochanan, shlemim ikar, v'heidach halacha, Rabbi Yochanan. The halacha is, like Rabbi Yochanan, because over here you have a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Huna. We know that in halacha, Rav Rabbi Yochanan, halacha ke Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Huna is a Talmud of Rav. So now if I have a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Huna, I'm obviously going to pass one like Rabbi Yochanan. So it's what introduces the idea of, what about halacha ke Batra? We have halacha like Rava. Many times halacha is like Rava because it's a Batra. Rav Nachman. Batra is halacha like him. So over here, Rav Huna is a Batra. Why isn't halacha like him? He says that doesn't happen now. Batra means fourth, fifth generation Amoraim. We're not talking about, you know, third generation Amoraim. That's not called a Batra. Batra only enters when we're at the way end of the period of the Amoraim. It's not a principle that's applied everywhere of Batra. Batra has to do with a unique part of the series of Amoraim, which is very late in the period of the Amoraim.
It's a few generations
after. Yeah, but you're talking about the people who are compiling the Gemara. So compiling the Gemara, you're already dealing with fifth generation Amoraim, the sixth generation Amoraim, like Mar Bar Avashi, and things like that, already late. So, but Rav is a Batra in face of like Ravashi and see who are compiling the Gemara. He's towards the end, Rav and Rav Nachman. So I'm Rav Yirmiyahu Amar Avaki Tanai. This is a Machloket Tanaim. Now it's not clear from the Gemara, is it Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan that's a Machloket Tanaim? Or is this issue of Seorim Chitim a Machloket Tanaim? Rashi says over here that the Kitanai here is Hadamar Prusa Shokitim Shleima Shel Seorim. About giving precedence and Tosfot says Rashi's right here. That's the right. That is the Machloket Tanaim here. Machloket Tanaim is not referencing back to Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan. You know by the fact that Rashi says this and Tosfot says this that there are others that disagree. Rashi would only say such a thing if there were others that thought otherwise, and Tosfot says the same thing, that there are others who thought it referenced Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan, he disagrees. Tormin batzal katan shalem, avalo chatzi batzal gadol. Dealing with onions. And you have to take a truma. When you mafish truma, you have to be mafish min ha-yofet. You have to take off from the best. So here I have I'm taking off truma. I have whole small onions, and I have half of large onions. I've cut large onions. It says, Tormim batzal katan shalem, avalo chatzi batzal gadol. I give precedence to the smaller whole onions than to the cut big onions. Yudomer, lo, eloki chatzi batzal gadol. I'd rather have you take off a half of the large onion. So here you have a machloket exactly on this idea of whether the batzal katan, which is whole, versus a batzal gadol that's cut in half, which is the precedence. And again, Tosfot and Rashi are saying this is not going back to Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan's argument. It's simply about, here it's clear that the batzal gadol is tastier.
And is bigger in size than the ketanim. And for the Kohen, that's a better deal. He wants the bigger item, he doesn't want the smaller item.
And the question is the batzal katan still get precedence because it's shalem? So my love, I come if lege. Mar sabr choshev adif. One of them says, whichever is more choshev, I mean, the batzal gadol, the tastier one is better. Marsava shalem adif, that the small one that's whole is better. Where it says now, Echad ika kohen, if there's a kohen that's present, kuli alma lo pligi de choshev adif. Everybody agrees that the choshev is adif, because as Shaul just pointed out, the cut onion has a limited shelf life. And having a limited shelf life, if the kohen is present, then we don't worry about it, we're going to give him the bigger onion. Ki pligi de leke kohen. The only question is when there's not a kohen that's immediately available. Tatnan, v'mishna, koma kom sheish kohen. Then, whenever the kohen is present, you take the best one off, because that's what he deserves. There's no kohen available, you take the one that will last longer, because you have to have a shelf life, you have to keep it until you find a kohen, or a kohen shows up. So that you need shelf life for it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ein torim ela min yafeh. Yehuda says it doesn't matter. You always have to give the yafeh to the kohen, you never give min mitkayim to the kohen. So this is Rabbi Yehuda again. So in the machloket here between batzal gadol, chatzi batzal gadol, and batzal katan is simply this. There's no kohen available. Do I take off of the choshuv? Do I take off of the choshuv anyway? That's Rabbi Yehuda's position. Do you take off of the chatzi batzal gadol? Whereas the Tanakhama says batzal katan because that'll last longer. So that's the machloket. It's similar to the machloket we see elsewhere. It's only in the case where there is no kohen present, what do we give precedence to? But again, that would also drop the possibility about using this as a machloket tanaim to define what we said before. Here there's another factor involved. The other factor is that of truma. And truma, you have to give precedence to the yofeh. Everybody agrees yofeh gets precedence by truma. There's no question about it. It's only a question when you have competition between mitkayim and yofeh, what do we do in that instance? But everybody agrees that the yofeh goes first. So that would agree with what we said before, which is that the chatzi chitin is better than the Shleima of the Seorim, because that's better. Amar of Nachman by Yitzchak. V'yirei Shemayim yotzei yidei shnehem. Someone wants to be Yirei Shemayim, will take care of all of them. He'll do both of them. What is this? Yotzei Yidei Shnehem? This is going back to Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan. If you want to be Yotzei both of their deot, whether to do the Shlema or the Prusa, this is what you should do. Yirei Shemayim Yotzei Yidei Shnehem, Omanu, Mar Bei Ravina. That's like Mar Bei Ravina. The Mar Bei Ravina, Meniach Prusa B'tocha Shlema Butzeya. He would put the broken one inside of the Shlema and then make the Bracha on both of them together. He'd be Butzeya on both of them together. Rashi says, Tachat. I mean, a prusa tachat shleima, not in, literally inside the other one, but rather wrapped up or underneath it. You put them together. You make the bracha on both of them together. He should do both of them in order to be yotzei yidei shnehem. Now, as Rashi says, maniach prusa tocha shleima, and then he says, v'nimtzu shnehem biyado. Now, both in his hands, ubotzeya omi shnehem. When he eats, he can break off of both of them, omi shleima, or just from the whole one. So that's the way Rashi reads this, that you break the bracha on both of them, but you pull off from the whole one. Where that works according to Rashi's interpretation. But according to the Rabbeinu Tam, you can't explain it that way. Because Rabbeinu Tam, even when it's bigger, you can make a choice. Then where's the case where you have to give precedence to the Petitim? According to Rashi, Rav Huna would say when the broken piece is bigger, you have to give precedence to it. So in that case, Rashi's explaining the Shita To. That's why he put them together, because it was a bigger broken piece. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, even when it's a bigger broken piece, Rav Huna says you can do whatever you want according to Rabbeinu Tam, then why do you have to do this at all? Just do the Shlema all the way along. And that's what Tosfot points out over here. The fear of Rabbeinu Tam, etzim lefresh hochi. Tekayeb titim. Shereinu tzarich lasod kein el yivarecha shlema, v'day b'kach dukuli amma. Just do the Shlema and it works for everybody. V'nira the fairish Rabbeinu Tam, shneim koya, shnei lachamim, aprusa shel chitim, u'shlema shel se'urim. Then he says, maybe according to Rabbeinu Tam, this meniach prusa b'tocha shleima is not going back to Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan, but only referring to this case of the chita and the sora, to take care of both opinions over there. So again, this idea that the explanation of Rav Huna's position before now has impact on the halacha. Because Rashi says that Rav Huna only said that you have a choice when the broken pieces are the same size as the shleimim. But if they're bigger than the shleimim, you have to do it on the prusot. And that's what we have Ravina doing over here. That's why he did it on both of them. According to Rabbeinu Tam, that Rav Huna's statement was made even in the face of larger broken pieces, then everybody agrees you should do it on the Shlema here. If you do it on the Shlema, you'll see they shneyam. And that's what Rabbeinu Tam would have to say here. Or Rabbeinu Tam has to say that with this statement of Rav Nachman Yitzchak is not referencing Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan, but rather referencing back to the Chita and the Sora. Tani Tana Kameh to Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Meniach Pusa B'tol Shlema U'Botzei U'Mavarech. Amalei, Mashmech. What's your name? Amalei, Salman or Salmon. Amalei, shalom ata, v'shleima mishnatecha, v'shiramta shalom ben atalmidim. He says, you are a peaceful man, your mishnayot are great, because now you made peace between the different talmidim, meaning that you brought a compromise that takes care of the machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Huna. Amar Rav Papa, this is a very, very important halacha, has major nafkaminot halacha, and has spawned many different practices. Hakol modim b'pesach, everybody agrees on Pesach. Everybody agrees this is the practice on Pesach. Then you take the broken matzah along with the whole matzah. My time, how do you know? Because lechem oni k'tiv. Because it says by the matzah on Pesach, it's lechem oni. Lechem oni means prusa, it's broken. So I'm Rabbi Abba, u'b'shabbat, chayav adam libtzoa shtei kikarot. On Shabbat, you have to have two holes. By my time, lechem mishne k'tiv. You have to have full lechem mishne. I'm Rabbi Ashi, chazina le'ed Rav Kahana, I saw Rav Kahana, d'nokit tarte, u'b'tzei achado. He takes both of them, and then he's only botzeya on one of them. Rabbi Zera ba botzeya kula shemuta. Rabbi Zera used to break off a piece large enough that it would be available to him for the remainder of the meal. So when he broke off from the shleimim, so he would take off a piece that was large enough that would suffice him for the rest of the meal. Any bread he wanted to eat would be there. He looks like someone who is a glutton, someone who can't take such a large piece. I'm like, even the chol yom alok avid hochi. He only did this on Shabbat. It was special for Shabbat that he took off a large enough piece that would satisfy for the rest of the meal. So that was unique to Shabbat. And since it's unique to Shabbat, it's not like he's a glutton because he didn't practice this way all week long. When they had the Eruv, they made the Eruv Chatzerot that they used to use bread for. Used to loaves of bread that they shared for the Eruv Chatzerot. That's what they used to make for their Lechem Mishneh. They did one mitzvah with it. Let's do another mitzvah with it. And this is not called Osa Mitzvot Chavilot Chavilot because you're simply making a Birkat HaNenin on it. A Motzi is not a Birkat HaMitzvah. When you say Chavilot Chavilot is when you're making two Birkat HaMitzvah on a single item. But we make him pirkei mitzvah, pirkei dananim, that's not called chabilot. And that's, he points out in Kiddush. Kiddush, we make bori pri agafen, and the bracha of Kiddush. Here, Tosfot says, that bori pri agafen is a pirkei tananim, not a pirkei mitzvah, and therefore it's not considered to be chabilot, chabilot. Now, I said before, this has a major nafkan min alalocha, and that is on the night of Pesach. On the night of Pesach, here the Gemara seems to say, you take the whole one, and you take the broken piece, and that's what you make the bracha on. Now there are two brachot you make on the night of Pesach, Amotzi Lechem in Aretz, and Al Achilat Matzah. Which one are you making, and what is the Gemara referring to here? In addition, what happened to Lechem Mishneh? Yom Tov! Pesach is also Yom Tov, what happened to Lechem Mishneh?
First of all, said the Shabbos. I mean, the Makar is Shabbos. We hold
that
Yom Tov also.
So Tosafot brings Tosafot and Beitza. That brings that Machlok and Midrashim, whether they got double man on Yom Tov, just like they got on Shabbat. And that Machlok and Midrashim would have impact on whether Lechem Mishneh applies to Yom Tov or not. Tosafot says that our minog is that we are knowing that we have Lechem Mishneh even on Yom Tov. So therefore, based on that fact, now he has an issue. What about Lechem Mishneh? So he brings here a number of practices about what they did on Pesach. He says, "Mishum dichtiv lechem oni miniach prusa tachar shleima v'nirek ibotzeya la prusa." Looks like he's being botzeya, that he's breaking away from the broken one. Omigoma kome in v'tok yimal shleima. Just said here in the Gemara, if you had a choice between a shleima and a prusa, you should be botzeya on the shleima. But here, the night of Pesach is lechem oni, so you should be giving precedence to the prusa because that's really the mitzvah of the night. So he says, what you do is you put them together, and it looks like you're breaking off of the prusa, even though you're breaking from the shleima. Prusa yivarech al achilat matzah. But then you'll make, for the motzi lechem in aretz, you'll make a bracha on the shleima, really. You put the prusa together with it, but you'll break off of the shleima. For korchim ochim shneim yachad, and then you eat both of them. So you make the bracha of a motzi on the shleima, and you make a bracha of al achilat matzah on the prusa. Then you take a piece of both of them, and then you eat it. Chena minog. And that's the minog. So how many matzot did Tosfot have on the night of Pesach? Two. One whole one, and one broken one. It's not right to do both of them on the broken matzah. Because then you're doing piled up mitzvah. And he says, nearly, that's not a problem. Hamotzi is a bigger than any. Bigger than any doesn't classify as chavilot. As I just said before, the proof is from Kiddush. That's bigger than yayin and bigger than Kiddush. From Menachem Mivina. It's very interesting. It's quoting from Menachem Mivina. It's pretty early on that Vienna is being considered a place. It's Bali Atosu. They're found in the, you know, northern France and along the Rhine. To say that there's somebody, they're quoting some from Vienna is pretty interesting. Hayeragil Asota Kol Ala Prusa. He did everything on the Prusa. Vena Shlema Ba Kiim Bishvil Lechem Mishneh. The whole one's there just to have Lechem Mishneh. But he's Botzeya, both for Amotzi and for Achilat Matzah on the broken piece. Vari. And he breaks off a piece of both of them afterwards. Sometimes he would do like the minhag, which was to make a motzi on the whole one, and to break off the whole one, and then to break off the prusa for achilat matzah. Our practice today is somewhere along the lines of Tosafot. Question you have to ask on Tosafot is, where do you have Lechem Mishneh here? He just said you had Lechem Mishneh because of the whole one. There's no Lechem Mishneh here. There's one whole one and one broken one. There's no Lechem Mishneh. So Tosafot believes that since the mitzvah of the night is Lechem Oni, the Prusa takes on a shame of Shlema on the night. And that for him, the Lechem Mishneh of the night is one Prusa, which is the Lechem Oni, and then a Shlema is your Lechem Mishneh. That's the second Lechem. The Prusa is the primary of the night. The Lechem Mishneh comes through the second Matzah. Why is that considered the Shlema? Because that's Lechem Oni. That's the Lechem of the night. Our practice is not that way. Our practice is to take three Matzot. We had three matzahs, so we had two shleimot and a prusa. So what we end up doing is we make a motzi on the two shleimim with the prusa in the middle. You drop the bottom one because then you're done with the motzi for the lechem mishneh. And then you make the achilat matzah on the prusa, basically, which is with the shleima together. And you break both of them. That's why you get a piece from both of them. One from the lechem mishneh, which is really lechem mishneh because you have two whole matzot. And one from the broken piece. That's the Ashkenazi minhag. The Sephardim actually practice like the Tosfot here, and only to have one matzah, one whole, and one prusa, and have that lechem mishneh is the din of the night of having lechem oni be the lechem mishneh. Okay, we'll stop over here.